This is Here and Now. Al-Qaeda-inspired militants have captured two cities in Iraq in the last 2 days, and now they're threatening to take Baghdad. Sunni militants from ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, took control of Mosul, Iraq's second-largest city, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday they seized Tikrit. The New York Times reports that a senior Ba'athist and former high-ranking Iraqi army officer says the planning for the militants' offensive began 2 years ago, and that, quote, these groups were unified by the same goal, which is getting rid of the sectarian government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. And today, President Barack Obama said Iraq will need additional assistance from the U.S. to push back the insurgency, and he said he hasn't ruled anything out, but the president added this caveat.
We're not going to be able to be everywhere all the time. But what we can do is to make sure that we are consistently helping to finance, train, advise military forces with partner countries, including Iraq, that have the capacity to maintain their own security.
Joining us now from Washington is Linda Robinson. She's a senior international policy analyst at RAND and author of a book on Iraq entitled Tell Me How This Ends, General David Petraeus and the Search for a Way Out of Iraq. Linda Robinson, welcome to the program.
Thank you much.
So first of all, let's just get straight to the question about Baghdad. What's your sense about the vulnerability of the main city, the capital of Iraq?
I think the Baghdad and, frankly, the entire country is at risk given the rapid pace of advance of ISIS over the last few days.
It's a rapid pace, and you think they're at risk. I mean, I'm seeing the New York Times reporting that there are, at this point in time, at least four brigades, a total of about 12,000 fighters that have been hastily assembled to protect Baghdad. Given ISIS's success in Mosul and Tikrit, it sounds like you're saying that may not be enough.
Yes, that is the question, really, first and foremost, is what are the Iraqi security forces capable of doing? And the reason why I think Baghdad is at risk is because of the numerous reports that the Iraqi security forces have not been able to stand and fight. They've literally taken off their uniforms, they've abandoned their posts, they've abandoned their weapons. Now, it may be that the defense will tighten up and prove more robust once the forces advance toward Baghdad. But to date, it's looked like a very shaky Iraqi army and the possibility that it could be crumbling. So once that kind of dynamic gets going, it can accelerate. And the question then is, if that happens, who else is there to help put the finger in the dike, so to speak?
Well, is there any reason for optimism that the Iraqi security forces could resist that crumbling that you're talking about? Because I'm seeing here that Prime Minister al-Maliki was requesting basically a vote on the emergency as a crisis just recently, possibly even today, but he couldn't even get a quorum to show up to take the vote, that just 128 out of the 325 MPs turned up to vote on the Prime Minister's request. So this sense of crumbling and disarray is rife throughout the Iraqi government as a whole.
Yes, there's certainly some very serious political strains that underlie this crisis. And for quite a while, he's been marginalizing and even attacking the Sunni elements of Iraq. So I think but if we could talk just a moment militarily, if the Iraqi security force as such is crumbling or unable to do the job, the question then is, do the Shia militias fill the breach, and do the Kurdish Peshmerga up north try to retake some of the territory? Mosul, the fact that Mosul fell is just astonishing, and that raises the possibility that there could be a rump Sunni extremist state or statelet, if you will, up there in northern and western Iraq. So that in itself is a problem regardless of whether Baghdad falls.
Okay, so let's talk for a moment about possible U.S. options here. I mean, President Obama today at the White House, was saying that he hasn't ruled out any options, but that the United States does have a stake in making sure that, in his words, these jihadists are not getting a permanent foothold in either Iraq or Syria, for that matter. So he's looking more broadly in the region. And I'm seeing the Associated Press reporting that a senior U.S. official says that the U.S. is considering whether to conduct drone missions for Iraq, but that no decision has been made. So To your mind, as an analyst, what are the United States' options in the coming, you know, days or weeks?
Well, I think there are three basic options. There are airstrikes, and those can be manned or unmanned, but that is the kind of standoff option, if you will. There is putting, in addition to that, some U.S. special operators on the ground, either to act unilaterally to target some of the leadership and networks of ISIS. And the third one is to get in there in a combat advisory mode and try to help stiffen and shore up the Iraqi security forces. And those three options are probably the maximum of what the administration would consider. But I do have to note, this is an important declaration by President Obama, and it represents a complete turnaround from the previous attitude of wanting the Iraqis to take care of this themselves. And this has been brewing really since last summer, as areas have fallen under the sway of ISIS.
And now, is this turnaround in part because the United States has to look at the region as a whole? And there has to be a question about what will Iran do? Is it going to step in to support, to support the Shiites in Iraq?
That's right. And that's where I was going with my military analysis, because if the Iraqi army is crumbling, if the Shia militia are unable to hold Baghdad, which I think is a very real question, because as ISIS grows and heads south, it's capturing more and more material, more guns, more vehicles, and they're really a standing army at this point and can roll right over most forces in the country. And with the Kurds, they're mostly likely to play a role up in the north, and again, they have limited capacity. So then that leaves Iraq, Maliki's government, with one friend in the region, which is Iran. Does Iran mobilize? Does it send in the Quds force? Does it send in its own army, or at least create a buffer zone? So all of this starts looking very grim and dire, and I think it raises the question for the U.S. Now, does it care about the creation of an Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, which is now looking like a real possibility? Does it care about the fall of the government of Baghdad? And I think the answers to both of those questions have to be yes. But this thing, again, did not happen overnight. We've seen the dramatic headlines this week, but it's been brewing for a while. Now, suddenly everyone is awake, paying attention. And the question is, how much effort is going to be required to roll things back, because you've now reached a pretty dire state?
Well, it's quite a question and a major one. And given the scenarios you've laid out, I'm sure it's one gripping the Obama administration quite significantly now. Linda Robinson, senior international policy analyst at RAND and author of the book Tell Me How This Ends, General David Petraeus and the Search for a Way Out of Iraq. Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
And on our Facebook page, facebook.com/hereandnowradio, you're already weighing in about possible U.S. involvement in Iraq. Lorraine Alden just says, no, 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 no. And Timothy Keenan says, I think when you knock over a government and install one of your own, you're kind of obligated to send support if they ask. Let us know what you think. facebook.com/hereandnowradio. This is Here and Now.